How good is it to be at the 5 p.m.? It's pretty good. And even better, well, not even better, but tomorrow is a public holiday. Who, raise of hands again. I just want to see it and validate myself. Who's excited for a public holiday? Yeah, great. Be excited because it's the last one for a little while. I would love for there to be a petition to get an additional one. I don't know whose responsibility that would be. Great, Kate's signing the petition. Just probably need about a couple million more signatures. But surely someone's job is to decide what a public holiday is. So I'm thinking we aim for July, because then we've got just a few months to July, and then we get one in October, and then we've got Christmas. Wouldn't that be nice and spaced out? Wouldn't that be a delight? So yeah, I don't know who you can talk to. If someone works for the government, maybe just come and what would the public holiday be for? That's an even better question. I think it should just be called the public holiday, which is just one to say, you know what, you guys rock, have a day off. That's what it's for. But for those of you who might not have met me before, my name is Sarah, and I am on the pastoral team here at New Hope, and I'm really excited to be able to share with all of you tonight, and I'm really excited to talk about something that I think is very important, something that I know means a lot to me, and no matter what sort of a day or week or month I'm having, it always brings a smile to my face, and that is receiving packages in the mail. Anyone else? Anyone? Yeah, good, good, good. I just feel like normal mail is so boring. Anything that comes in an envelope, it's not that exciting. And if you're like me, it's usually a bill or like rego, or which is a bill. There's different types of bill come in envelopes. Like, I can do without the mail, but packages, I mean, there's nothing more exciting than a package showing up at your house, and then you gotta go, who is it for? And you always think it's for you, even if you haven't like done anything. Like, is it for me? And it's like, oh no, it's a car part for my dad. Well, boring. That's the boring type of package for me. But I find the only thing more exciting than receiving a package unannounced is the feeling when you know something's coming for you, when you've ordered something, you've found a good deal online, and you know it's coming right to your house just for you. Or maybe a birthday present, maybe someone's told you, hey, I've sent you something, I've sent you a gift. I mean, waiting for that is just, well, personally for me, one of the most exciting things that happens. Yeah. No, so mostly just me who loves online shopping. This is great, but I find for me in the waiting, like, it's not that I just go, great, something's on the way, continue on with my life. I'm like checking my emails every hour. I want to know when that thing's been shipped. I want to know when it's rated to Red Bank. I want to know when it's made it from Red Bank to Toowoomba for sorting facility. And I want to know when they do that little, it's on the way to you today notification. I'm checking all of those. I'll put my little tracking code in the thing, like just to check if it went anywhere further today. And I just find this constant, like, I just can't wait until I get it and I want to know where it is. Every single second, there's this anticipation about it. And I wonder if you've ever felt that. And it might have been something different. It might be that you've got family coming to see you for the first time in a long time. Maybe they've been away. Maybe they've been overseas and you're like, it's not long now. Get to see them tomorrow. And there's this anticipation building. Maybe it's a holiday. Maybe you've been waiting a long time for a, maybe it's a public holiday tomorrow. Maybe you've been waiting a while and it's finally coming and you've been getting ready. Like, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? What do I need? The shops are going to be closed. What am I going to have for lunch? If anyone hasn't thought about that yet, it is too late. The shops are closed. But there's all these different things that we start doing. And maybe if you're someone who's having a baby, there's definitely a sense of anticipation, isn't there? You sort of know when it's coming, but there's this anticipation, there's this sense of preparation in it. And I wonder if you've ever noticed that when we truly are anticipating something, there's usually an action tied to that. There's usually something we do as a result while we're waiting for it. When we really anticipate something, whether it is getting ready for the holiday, whether it is making sure your spare room's ready for that family member or getting them some flowers, or whether it is checking your tracking status on a package that's coming or imagining what you're gonna do with it when it arrives. If you're me, it's shoes, and you're just like picturing the outfits. You're like, yes, this, 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 making a space for it. There's an action in place that's tied to this sense of anticipation. And you know, the word in and of itself originated from the words before and take. The literal translation in the original Latin said before and take, and then it evolved to acted in advance. And now what it means is to take into consideration. But the origin of the word always involved an action before something happened. There was an action involved in the anticipation. And so anticipation goes beyond simply an expectation where we hope and we wait, just knowing that something's coming. Anticipation is like a faith in motion for what's going to happen. And I want to go to a passage in Luke where Jesus gives the disciples something to anticipate. It's in Luke chapter 24, verses 45 to 53, and it says this. Then he opened, this is speaking of Jesus, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. When he'd led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And when he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with a great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. You know, we're in the midst of this season between Easter and the resurrection and Pentecost. And we've been looking at, I guess, the ancient path that Jesus took in the 40 days that came after his resurrection to the day that he ascended. We've been hearing about the stories of how he showed up to dispel doubt and prove to people that he was who he claimed to be. He's the Son of God. He shows up to his disciples. Look at the holes in my hands, the scar on my side. He's alive again. He's dispelling doubt. He's encountering people. He's eating with them. He's giving them the hope and the faith that this gospel that they so desperately wanted to believe was true. And he's teaching. He's sharing about the kingdom. He's opening people's minds to what scripture truly meant. He's bringing revelation. These 40 days are jam-packed. Jesus did not have much of a break. He is out, he's gone to work. And then he gives his disciples this great commission. He says, go and share the story of what you've seen. Go and share my story about who I am. I've proven to you who I am. I've shown you the scars. I am Jesus, the Son of God. Tell people. Tell people what I did for them, what happened to you. He's giving them this commission. And then he gives them this promise. Hey, I'm going to send you someone who's going to help you with this. I'm going to send you someone who's the voice of truth, the voice who's going to give you courage to speak the words and the gospel and the truth that I have given to you. And there's this great promise, and then Jesus ascends. And you know, it's 10 days between that moment where Jesus is gone again and when the Holy Spirit comes and fills the disciples. There's an outpouring of it. There's 10 days where they wait before there's power and signs and wonders, and the power that raised Christ from the dead fills his disciples. And you know, we have the benefit of the whole story. You know, when the disciples went and waited, there wasn't an overly large description of what they were waiting for, just that it would be power, that they would be clothed with power on high, which I personally think is great because it sounds like a clothing package, which I was referring to earlier, if you remember. So that's a good little, good little link there. But they didn't really know what it would look like. They'd seen Jesus move with the Holy Spirit. They'd seen him raised from the dead, but how that would manifest for them, what that would look like, they're not given the clearest picture. But we know that while they waited for the helper with their mission on the day of Pentecost, there was such an outpouring of the Spirit that there were not just signs and wonders for the believers, but the disciples stood up and preached the gospel and thousands were added to the church. Thousands of people experienced the gospel of Jesus and had their lives transformed in a single day. You know, we heard last week about the restoration of Peter. Peter's the one leading the charge on the day of Pentecost. The power of the Holy Spirit in him took him from a man who didn't even want to be known to have known Jesus to being a man who stood up in a climate that it wasn't great to be calling Jesus king because he just got killed for it. And he speaks out boldly and courageously, and thousands are added to the church. And you know, the Holy Spirit is not something that just once existed in an ancient time for an ancient people. The Holy Spirit is at work in the world today. The Holy Spirit is available to every single one of us. And so I think that as we head into Pentecost, it would be such a shame not to go in with anticipation, with a mindset of preparation of what can we do while we wait, to be not just expectant, but to make sure that we make the most of this time to prepare for the Holy Spirit to move powerfully. And it starts with action, because I just have great faith that God can do the miraculous today. And I know that on Pentecost, as much as with any other day of the week, but as a community of believers, all leans into Jesus, all leans into the power of the Holy Spirit, I know that incredible things can happen. People can be broken free of chains they've had for decades and decades. People can be healed. People can have their entire lives changed. And I know that God is always willing to move. So the question is, are we going to be prepared and anticipate his moving? And so I want to have a conversation tonight about purpose and humility and hunger. And the way that I see these three things, they intertwine to really help us have this sense of anticipation. And so the first one I want to look at is purpose. See, the more we lean into purpose, the more excited we're going to be for the promise. You know, the Holy Spirit is not just for us. You know, I think we can often talk about it in a way that the Holy Spirit does speak to you and reveal things about Jesus to you, and he's a friend and he becomes a part of your walk with Jesus, your faith journey. But a lot of the time we miss this very important thing, that the Holy Spirit was sent for a purpose. The Holy Spirit was sent not just so that we could remain close to Jesus, even though he's no longer walking on the earth, but so that we would have the boldness and the courage and the words of truth to speak to people in our world, that we could actually share the gospel the way Jesus has called us to. The Holy Spirit has a purpose. And when Jesus told his disciples, all they knew was that they'd been given this great mission and God promised them a helper. And the fact that they go and they wait and they wait, and 10 days is a lot of time when you don't know what's going to happen. Like, I think we discount that. If Jesus was here today and said, just wait, I'm sending you a helper, you're like, excellent. First hour, you're like, cool. First day, you're like, right. Like, by day three, someone's for sure being like, have you felt it yet? I don't know, have you? Like, do you think it's this? Do you think, like... And of course, it would be such an obvious thing that no one could deny, but when you're waiting, 10 days is a long time to wonder what clothed with power from on high means, to know what it would mean when Jesus sends you a helper from the Father God to share the gospel. What does that even look like? But the fact that they were waiting says to me that they were very intent on doing what Jesus told them to do. The fact that they were willing to stay together and pray and do whatever it is they were doing in the waiting meant that they had every intention of going and sharing the gospel, and they were going to wait until they knew God had given them that promise and they would have the courage and the boldness to do it. They intended to go out and fulfill the purpose that Jesus had called them to. In John 15, 26 to 27, it says, when the advocate comes, it's a description for the Holy Spirit, the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father. He will testify about me, and you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. See, part of anticipating the Holy Spirit, getting into a state where we're preparing, where we're actually trying to take a step towards what that might look like. A part of that is stepping into purpose. A part of that is stepping into what God has called us to be, which is a light and a voice to the world. You know, and it will look different on everyone. We all are made so uniquely. You know, God has made it very clear that the world is full of variety, but we are united in one thing, and that's Jesus has asked us to share that story. You know, when Jesus gives the commission, I'm so convinced that he is aware that those words will be marked in history. He's not just speaking to the disciples. He knows he's speaking to them, but in a much greater sense, all nations everywhere across the world, that is an eternal commission. That is so that generation after generation of believer knows what their job is. It's to live their life with faith, but to go out until every person knows the name of Jesus. Go out until the world looks exactly like what the kingdom of heaven looks like. And so we've been given an eternal purpose. And the question when it comes to anticipating the Holy Spirit is, have you stepped into it? Are you actually engaging it? Because the more we lean in, the more we get excited for the promise. You see, I wonder if sometimes we seek the deeper revelation of God with no intention of doing what he's asked us to do. And we wonder why we don't feel close. We wonder why we don't experience God the same magnitude as we desperately want to. I wonder if it's because the Holy Spirit has a purpose, and so do we. And see, the more you lean into your purpose, the more you will realize how much you need Jesus. The more you will be humbled and understand that there's a reason God sent someone to help us. It is because we need help. And so the second thing I want to look at is humility. The power of realizing that we need the helper. You know, that comes out of stepping into your purpose. And that's why I use the word intertwine. You know, it's not so much a step one, two, three. These things just have an interconnected relationship with each other. See, we don't just need faith in Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. And you can have one without the other. I know plenty of people who believe that Jesus is real, but have no interest in engaging the Holy Spirit, have no interest in taking a step in that direction. And I don't have a lot of comments about that, but I would encourage you that if God has something for you, you want to step into that. If God says you can be filled with power and impact the world around you, I really hope that you want that. Like, even if it starts small, God's not going to overwhelm you, but he might just surprise you. You know, Jesus paid the ultimate price, and it wasn't only that we would see his love. That's the primary focus that we always look at. But have you ever wondered that he also did it so that we could see his power? That for 3 days, someone could be dead and raised and walk amongst people again? That is the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to us. The scripture says the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us. And so when we lead out of the resurrection, it's not just a promise of simple power or something we can't understand. It's the power that actually raised Christ. And it's that power that gives us courage to share God, courage to share the truth of the story that we have. And I think once you start engaging that, it does become clear very quickly that we cannot do this alone. It is not easy. It is not easy to be the person that God's called us to be. There are moments that feel easier than others, but when push comes to shove, when you start to be in quite a unstable position where you really don't know if you can own up to your faith, where you can encourage someone the way you want to, the way that's on your heart, when God says, hey, why don't you share that with them? And you're like, that friend's never going to talk to me again. What do you do in those moments? We need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of boldness. We need these things. And God has been kind enough to send him to us. And so we need to make sure that we anticipate it, that we're prepared, that we're stepping into purpose, and we humble ourselves to understand that if we're not reaching out for the Holy Spirit, we should be. Because if we ever want to step into what God's calling us to do, it will involve the Holy Spirit. It will involve help, which is a great thing. And you know, I wondered if, when I was looking at the story, I wonder if that's why they had to wait. You know, it's not like, well, I mean, I don't know the science behind it, but like, how long does it take for the Holy Spirit to get here from heaven? Like, that's not like a, that's like, have you ever seen that meme about like Americans using any metric other than like the metric that we use? It's like, no one knows what that is. I'm sure, I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit could have been there the moment Jesus left, but he wasn't. And I don't know why that is, but I wonder if it's because time often pulls us into a place of, I don't know, maybe desperation, maybe an understanding that we don't have all of this under control. Wow, maybe I actually need someone. See, 10 days after Jesus left, they're thinking about this. There's been so much happening. Jesus has been appearing to people and having meals and dispelling doubt and opening their minds to scripture and giving them this great commission, and so much is happening. And then there's just nothing. You know, I wonder in those moments they realized what it meant for Jesus to be gone. And they started to have an opportunity to go, man, we actually need this. They had the humility of knowing that it's on you, that Jesus has called you to something so great, and it's just you, just simple Sarah, just simple person in this world. Jesus has entrusted this to me. You know, I wonder sometime if time just leads us to a place of humility, and that humility helps prepare the way for the Holy Spirit to encounter us. And so I think I would ask, if we are in a place where we're not trying to engage the Holy Spirit, or it's not something we've considered, I would just make sure that that's not coming from one of two places. I would make sure it's not coming from a place of pride where we're just like, man, like, I'm so confident, I'm great at meeting people, and this gospel sharing thing is super easy. Like, we all have great moments where we feel like we're on a high and we're doing what God's called us to do and it's amazing and we're just killing it. But I would encourage you not to be prideful. I would encourage you to take all the help you can get, because even if that's where you are, imagine where you could be with the Holy Spirit. Imagine where you could be with power from on high. And the other place I would caution is if it's coming from a place of passiveness, you know, a passive faith that is just internal, that's just me and Jesus, that's just, I've been saved and I'm so grateful and I'm just going to keep doing what I do and living my life and, you know, every man for themselves. I would encourage you not to be passive. I think not stepping out to seek the Holy Spirit sometimes comes from that place. And I just want to encourage you, like, we're all on a journey and everyone has a different level. You know, Peter ended up preaching to thousands, but he's the only one mentioned of doing something at that magnitude. Don't feel like you have to be able to step into this massive opportunity to be doing what God's called you to do, or to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people need that just to tell the person at the service station on the way to church, when they say, what are you doing? Oh, are we doing anything today? To just go, oh, I'm actually heading to church, instead of, oh yeah, no, not much. Like, if that's your level, reach out for the Holy Spirit and ask God to help you with it. There's a journey in this. Peter walked with Jesus, the disciples walked with Jesus for years and slowly developed this relationship and this pursuit of him and the Holy Spirit. But still start. If it's starting small, start small. And don't fall into the mistake of being passive, because Pentecost Sunday will come and go for another year. And like I said, we can obviously reach out to the Holy Spirit at any point, but I really feel like God has his hand on those moments. And when he moves, you want to be here. When he moves, you want to be a part of it. And so humility leads to pursuing and preparing. And I think the pursuit and the preparation of the Holy Spirit, it leads to hunger. And I want to talk about hunger for just a moment. You know, I wonder if you've ever seen someone who's so on fire for Jesus and they're just killing it. And you're like, if only I had that. Like, they're just so hungry for God. Like, God, would you just give that to me? And this is important for all of us because the Holy Spirit is not a once-off thing. It's not like you just get filled once and you're on fire for the rest of your life. That would be awesome. I haven't experienced that, but I have experienced again and again the goodness of God to meet me and fill me when I have pursued Him wholeheartedly. And in Acts 4:31, later on, the disciples, they're encountering a lot of pushback, a lot of persecution. They're fleeing from place to place, but they're still moving from place to place. And it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. That already happened at Pentecost. Why are they being filled again? Because every day new challenges come up. Every day the world wears on us. Every day things get a little bit more hard. We encounter something we haven't encountered before. But the good news is the Holy Spirit is there again. He will fill you again. If you ask Him to help you, He will. And it's not just a once-off thing. But to stay on that journey long enough to keep reaching out, we have to be hungry. We have to be intentional. And I think the mistake we often make is we look at the person who's like that and we wish that we were in that place, but we misunderstand what hunger means in a spiritual sense. You know, in the natural, we get hungry because we don't eat. That's how we get hungry. We've been away for so long. I just need to go away, and then when I come back, I'll be really hungry because I've had nothing. But the greater the starvation, the less the hunger when it comes to faith. See, in the spiritual, you get hungry from eating and eating and eating and getting to a place where you overflow with that hunger. And if we misunderstand that, we're going to be very confused about why this person looks so hungry and we're not. See, it's not going to come to you from just a wish or a prayer. It will come from a consistent pursuit of God, being filled and filled again, coming back for more, making sure that you pray, that you're journaling, that even attempt fasting if you've never done that, doing the things that draw you near to God. That's how you develop a hunger. You know, I would ask you to consider that, you know, hunger is a sign that you are overflowing to full rather than empty. You know, maybe that is for someone tonight. Maybe you're wondering why you can't catch that fire. Just start pursuing God continuously and don't give up. Just start chasing and chasing. Just take every opportunity to do what God has called you to do and you'll get on fire. It'll happen. And consider that those people are like that because they are every day just pursuing God with their whole heart. And maybe you don't see it because they just pop in on Sunday like everyone else, but there's something different about them. Maybe consider that in their day-to-day, they're actually making it a priority to anticipate the Holy Spirit, to prepare and take action and not be passive. See, when we're continuous in our pursuit of Jesus, that's what throws logs on the fire. That's what makes sure that it keeps burning. And so as humanity, I guess, we've been entrusted to steward this revelation of Jesus. That's been given to us. And that is kind of a scary thought because I don't know about you, but I'm here because Jesus changed my entire life. And I'm so grateful for that. And of course I want every single person in the world to know what that feels like. I'm sure that's my deepest desire, but you know, I don't always live like that because I don't always feel like I have the power to go out there and do it. Like sometimes I just feel like all I have is the strength for God and me. And that's doing pretty well sometimes. But I want to encourage you tonight that, you know, as we lead into Pentecost, the whole idea is that when we feel like we don't have enough, when we feel like we can't do it, that's what the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do. It's what you don't have that He can give you. The reason He gives you boldness is because you weren't bold, but you were encouraged to chase after the Holy Spirit. When it says that He gave them boldness so they could speak, it suggests that they weren't feeling all that great. And so I encourage you, like, this journey as we lead into Pentecost Sunday, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for you to actually take the time to anticipate the Holy Spirit. It might be the first time you've ever done it. And I want to encourage you that there's so much power in it. But the important thing to remember is, much like everything else in our faith, it's not just about us. And so I would ask you this, make sure that you're in the room on Pentecost Sunday, not just for you, but for someone else. Make sure that before Pentecost Sunday, you've actually prayed about it. Come with something that you're believing for. Come with great expectation and hope that God would actually move in something in your life. Come trusting that you can actually believe for something. But come asking God to share something with you for someone else. Come asking God to give you the faith and the courage to pray for someone, to see someone who needs some encouragement and some breakthrough, and be that person. Because it's not about your power. It is about the power of God that can fill you. And so I want to encourage you. This is the season that we're in. And as a community, as we seek God, there's so much power in that. When they're in the upper room and they're praying together. There's a group. And I can only imagine what it would have been like to find out later that you just didn't show up or you weren't a part of that, and God moved in such a powerful way that your doubts would have been put to the side and you thought and you would have had a breakthrough that you've been believing for. I want to encourage you strongly to make sure that you're here. And you know, last year in the lead up to Pentecost, I think Pastor Chris told us where he wanted to go months in advance. And I started reading Acts in like November. And so, what is it? It's May. So like for 6 months, my life group got sick of me because every Monday my journaling was from Acts. But you know what? I just thought, I want to be there. I want to be ready. I want to understand. And when it came to Pentecost, I felt like until last year, the Holy Spirit had always been something that I'd kind of struggled with for me even. Like, I kind of want it, but it scares me a little bit, and I'm a pastor, so that's not good at all. And like, but I just wanted the Holy Spirit so badly, but I don't know if I necessarily understood that it should be so I can overflow into someone else. And I remember last year as I was journaling and had months, and as we got closer, I just prayed so much for it. And I was praying for someone, I think I even at the night service on Pentecost Sunday, and I was like, I just had a stern word with God. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I was praying for them and I was getting nothing. And I was like, come on, God, like I'm like believing that this person needs a word and all this sort of stuff. And I was getting nothing. And I was starting to get a little mad because I was like, well, I feel like I've done all the things that I should do. But as I continued to pray, I got this one word, and he was like, just say that to them. And I was like, well, that's not very descriptive. And I was like, I don't know if I want to say that. And anyways, I just kept getting the word come up. And as I said it, then I started to say more that I didn't know I was going to say. And this person just broke down and was like, as I painted the picture that God was showing me word for word, and it was surprising me as much as it was surprising them, it just broke something in them. And they were like, I have been praying for months on what to do about this. And I just, like, that has answered all of my questions. And I just want to encourage you, you know, for me, it was so faith building for me because I was like, God has given me something for someone else. But it made me really take the weight of the fact that it is my responsibility to be there for someone. What would have happened if I hadn't anticipated that the Holy Spirit was going to move and I hadn't lent in, I hadn't been praying, I hadn't been seeking, that I hadn't developed that hunger? What would have happened? Would they be still waiting for a breakthrough? Because as much as God moves in our world and does the miraculous, he often chooses to use us. And I just want to make sure that if God wants to move, I'm there ready to move with him. I want to make sure that if on Pentecost Sunday, if fire wants to come down from heaven, that I have been preparing in a way that God would use me, that I would be ready and waiting to be impacted and come with everything that I'm trusting God to break through on, but that I could actually speak into someone else's life. See, the testimony of Pentecost Sunday, the very first one, it gives us the great hope that God can do more than we imagine, that more than we understand, more than we believe possible. And so I just want to ask two questions tonight, really simply, and then we will be pretty much finished. But the first question is simply, are you anticipating the Holy Spirit to do something powerful at Pentecost? You know, this is just an encouragement for you to build some faith, to start praying. Ask yourself, what would you like to see God do in your life? have the faith to believe that it could happen. Have the faith to believe that there could be a breakthrough or a word or even just some encouragement to encourage you to keep going, to keep pushing. Maybe it's a person in your family that you just desperately want to see meet Jesus. Come with some expectation. Anticipate that the Holy Spirit will do something powerful. Trust it, believe it, write down some things that you are believing for, because there's an action to our anticipation. There's a preparation to it. How are we going to do that? And the second thought is, how will you anticipate the Holy Spirit? You know, I would encourage you to spend time with people, be in community, hear stories. You know, it's amazing sometimes how an offhand comment with someone can really lead you to be able to pray into that situation, can really give you the connection and the rapport with someone to go over and just pray with them, to have insight about their life. I would encourage you to be in community. I would encourage you to pray. You know, there's no formula when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I don't think. I just truly think it's this combination of having a life where you want to step into the purpose He calls us to, and having a humility to know that we need the Holy Spirit, having a hunger built in the pursuit, the consistent pursuit of Jesus. How are you going to do that? It'd be such a shame to go away tonight and then rock up on Pentecost Sunday and realize that, not that your opportunity is lost, but that there could have been a greater opportunity, that moment could have been even more powerful, that the waiting could have been filled with anticipation for how God is going to move. See, it's hard to forget to be excited and anticipated if you actually anticipate He's going to do something. It's easy to forget if you're not so convinced. So maybe even take the time to just settle your doubt and trust that He can move. You know, I would ask, why don't we just stand tonight? And I would love to pray for us. You know, it's not just about Pentecost Sunday. And the Holy Spirit's not limited to one day of the year, because in an ancient time, it was the original day that the Holy Spirit poured out. He's not limited by that. But there is a testimony of power and breakthrough. There is a strong testimony of the kingdom at Pentecost. And to wait with expectation is something, and anticipation is something I think we can all do. It's within our power. And so if you're here, why don't we just close our eyes and just take a moment together. And maybe just think about, firstly, a way that you would love God to encounter your world. A breakthrough that you've been believing for. Maybe something you haven't even been game enough to ask Him for. Ask the Holy Spirit for the strength to believe that He can actually move in that situation, in your family situation, in your workplace, in the community that you're a part of, in whatever that is for you. As I've spoken tonight, just take a moment to go, that's the thing I'm going to be believing for. That's what I'm bringing to Pentecost Sunday. And now why don't you take a moment just to pray that God would do something in you that would overflow to someone else, that God would use you, however that might be, however small or large, that you would just trust Him, that He's not going to overwhelm you, but that He can show up and surprise you, that He could fill you with the Holy Spirit in a way that changes someone's life, that gives you boldness and courage to pray for someone, to speak a word of encouragement, a word of knowledge. Just take a moment right now and just ask God to give you that strength and that courage, and that you believe that He can and that He will, and that we're going to show up expectant for God to move, not just in our life, but through us, because it's not our power that we need to rely on, it's actually His power. And while we're in this moment, just thinking about Jesus and the power of God and all that He can do, if you're here tonight and maybe Jesus and God are pretty foreign to you, you would say, you're not on a journey of faith, then I want to encourage you that the power of God, you know, the very crux of that story is love and forgiveness and a great hope in the Son of God who died so that you would know how much he loved you, so that you would know that he was the Son of God and that all the good things he speaks of, his love, his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace, his purpose for your life, all of those things are true and real and available to you. And I just want to take a moment, if that's you here tonight, this is an opportunity where you can step into that for the first time. You can come and say, I want to be a part of this. I want to know this Jesus who loves me. I want to know more about this story. And I would just encourage you right now, if that is you, just to take a moment and raise your hand, just in a step of courage, I guess, to say that this is a step I want to take. This is a decision I want to make. And I want to encourage you, it is the best decision you can ever make. You know, so many of us are here because Jesus absolutely changed our lives. And that when we thought he was good and we came to him, he ended up being even better. That's the testimony of this community. And for those of you that I just saw put your hands up, I want to thank you for your courage, but let's just pray right now. You know, Father God, I just thank you for the people who have made that step tonight, who have said that they want to know you more. And I just pray that you'd meet them right now, God. I just pray that tonight you'd become the realest that you've ever been to them, and that they could start to build that trust with you, that you are good, that you don't hold anything against them, that the doubts that they've brought to you, that you can put them to rest because you just love them and you're so excited that they want to get to know you, God. And I just thank you for their courage, and I pray you'd meet them where they're at and you'd start building that faith, start building that sense of purpose within them, God. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. And so I hope you guys are encouraged that Pentecost Sunday, 2 weeks away, the 19th of May, can be a powerful day. You know, I am so excited and I am committed to just believing that God is going to do even more than I could imagine, which would be amazing because I have a very big imagination and I imagine that all of you do as well. And so I want to encourage you, don't just go in 2 weeks and forget that. Pursue God. Actually pray into it. Believe for something powerful to happen, because I know that God is powerful and it will happen.